Boker Tov, this is Radio Shalom, and today our program is about love. Yesterday, on my way to work, I listened to a radio program about Valentine. The presenter said something like, remember that there are people who don't have a date today, and they are so lonely and sad now. And I thought to myself, why? Why being so negative? I mean, there is so much love around us. Why not being positive? Because by the end of the day, you can send a nice card to your mother. You can feel the love of your dad, of your friend, of your child. You can hug your children. You can even, you know, say how much you appreciate your old next neighbor who lives just next door. So there are really so many ways to express love. And it doesn't have to be on Valentine's Day in an expensive romantic restaurant. Can be just in showing the little things that actually make a huge difference in our life. On the phone, I have got Corinne Horan to talk about love. Corinne is a public figure in New Zealand. She's actually twice a breast cancer survivor. She is also the founder of Paddle for Hope and also a soul mom for three beautiful girls. So, Corinne, I know you for many years. You're one of my best friends, and you are a real inspiration for me, and I think also for others. I've seen you going through so much in your life and thinking, oh my God, what a strong woman, what a strong mind. Now tell me, I mean, I know you're very busy and you're doing so many things in your life and so many projects, but where do you find the time for love in your life and what it really means to you?
Thanks to y'all for the introduction, and hello everyone. I think love is such a broad, it's got a broad meaning for a lot of people. And, there's a book called Five Languages of Love. So everyone shows love in a different way. Everyone receives love in a different way. I think love starts within, and it's a process. It's a long journey because we carry a lot of baggage from our childhood, and we've got perception about love from our parents and from our teachers. School, high school, work, and friends and colleagues. And even it could be from our neighbors. So I think people sometimes forget that love has to start with yourself. And you don't always have to love yourself, but you have to work on loving yourself, because when you love yourself, you can love more people. You can have more space in your heart. The heart pumps, it's got blood flow and it works. And the more we pump it, the more it works better, right? So we need to feed it oxygen. We need to feed it with the love that we give ourselves. And I think this is where my journey is to actually understand that relying on someone else or a physical object or an event to have love and find love and to hold it tight is something that doesn't really work for a lot of people. And we need to start within ourselves. And this is my journey. I've been learning how to love myself, especially as a twice breast cancer survivor, to love myself despite going through obstacles, despite losing breasts, despite having scars, separating and so on. People come and go in our, from our lives and into our lives. And at the end of the day, it's what you do with it and how you take it. So yeah, it's a long working, it's a long journey, and you've got to work on it to find that love for you.
So how do you actually love yourself? What do you do? What things that you can do? It's like, okay, I love myself. I don't see this person anymore. Okay. I really want him next to me. I really want to have this hug, but it's not working as much as I wanted. It's not working. So what do you do?
I've been in a very long relationship. There were ups and downs. There were times where I had a big hug and a big smile and love and kisses and all that. But at the end of the day, relying on someone else to give it to you again it doesn't always work, and it usually doesn't work. So you start within yourself, and you need to affirm it to yourself. You need to say to yourself, you need to look in the mirror and actually work it. It's cognitive. You really need to speak it to yourself to find those affirmations that work for you, that say, I love you, no matter what you do. I love you despite your scar on your face, on your chest, on your butt. It doesn't matter. I love you the way you are. It's just like that song. So once you've got unconditional love for yourself, and you work on it really hard. I used to draw when I was sick, you know, and I've gone through a lot, and I lost my hair and my femininity in a way, with my breasts and scars. I had to write it on a mirror. I had to remind myself every day that I'm still worthy, that I am still that same person that I always care about. And we sometimes, I think, forget because we take care of other people. We've got compassion to other people. If you see someone falling off their bike on the road, you'll go and help pick them up. But we don't always pick up ourselves. And we've got to remember that we need to pick up ourselves. We need to affirm it to ourselves and remind ourselves on a daily basis that we are great and we're awesome. And so if someone doesn't feel it sometimes, by acting and doing things cognitively, by writing it, by putting notes on the fridge, affirmations, quotes that remind us that we are great people, and just say, I love you to myself, that's a good start. Then you can hug yourself by going and having a massage. You can get physical touch by other people, not always by your partner. And even people that are in 20-year relationship, and we have these chats, Sigal, all the time about relationships amongst our girlfriends and friends.
We're a relationship specialist.
And we moan, you know, we've got something to say. It's not always from our partners. It's not always, we can have it from our children. I mean, how amazing is the unconditional love from our children?
Absolutely.
And from us to our children. So we can have love, a good love relationship with our career. And that might be satisfying one person and not the other. It goes back to love languages. It goes back to what is important to us. Sometimes it's the touch. Sometimes it's the money. Sometimes it's the job. And sometimes it's our friends.
But reach, it's temporary, you know. Jobs you. Is something,
yes,
temporary.
Everything is temporary.
Yeah.
But I think you nailed it in the head in a way, because everything in life is temporary. Nothing is for granted. No relationship is for granted.
So
even our relationship
forever
with ourselves.
So what stays forever? What do you reckon?
The love that we can give ourselves.
Exactly.
And we need to, and I think, you know, you saw my post on Instagram maybe this week. I said, you know, the only thing that remains strong is the love that I have for myself. And I need to work on it, just like I would work on it with my partner or my or a boyfriend or, you know, or my colleague at work or you as my best friend. So we need to work on it. We need to nurture ourselves to find that place. And it doesn't have to cost us money to love ourselves. And that is really, really important to know. It's not about the clothing and the makeup and all that. It's actually about... The psychological and emotional and inspirational side of things.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, well, I think we should take some of your advice. So we're looking at affirmation, notes. You know, once I even sent a flower to myself. It was quite cool.
Yes.
It was funny,
yes.
But I did it. And, yeah, it's nice. It's nice to set yourself, you know, I'm great. I love myself, so...
and it doesn't mean you're selfish, you know. It doesn't mean you. Loving yourself gives you room to love others. It's really important to know. If you wake up in the morning with a smile, you know people in the house are going to try and smile to you. Doesn't always work. So whatever you want to receive, you need to give, and that's part of it. It's some sort of an equation, I think, you know. But yeah, having photos on your phone from the most beautiful moments in your life is a great idea. So if you feel down, you know, just turn on your phone. You've got that. You've got an album. Just put that album forward and say, this is my I love you album. And these are the most beautiful photos of me that I like. Because, of course, not every day you will wake up and love yourself 100%. But you have reminders, and you can put reminders in different places location around the house, in your car, and remind yourself, look at those photos, say, oh my God, I love myself the way I looked here, and that moment in time that I had with my family or myself. Learn to be with yourself. Learn to accept that there are days where you're going to sit by yourself, if it's at home or walking in the park, taking yourself on a stroll. You know, I'm a pedal boarder, and the one thing that I love doing is getting on the board by myself. And sometimes you ask me, are you going by yourself? And I love being with myself, because that's the only time that someone actually listens to me without interrupting me. And I can be with myself, and I can affirm it to myself, and I can scream and shout and be on the water where no one's hearing. So being with yourself is part of loving yourself, is accepting you and being with you. It's one of the most valuable relationships, I think, on earth.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you very much, Corinne Horan. I wish you good luck and continue to love. And hopefully you will find a true love this year, because I really want to be in your wedding this year. I want it to happen. So
I think, you know, I believe in love. I believe in relationships. I believe that you meet people and you can fall in love 20 million times. It's a great feeling to be in love. Happy Valentine's Day, you know, and love yourself. Yeah.
Okay.
Keep on loving yourself.
All right. Thank you, Corinne Horan, and happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
That was Corinne. Now we're going to talk to Rabbi Mandy from Chicago. Shalom. How's the weather in Chicago? We have summer here, but a lot of rain.
It's a lot of snow and a lot of sunshine.
Okay, today we're going to talk a bit about true love from a Jewish perspective. So actually I would like to know, what do you think about it from woman point of view and from a rabbi point of view? So shall we start with Sarah?
Start with Mandy.
Okay.
We can start with Mandy.
Okay, sure. Let's start with Mandy.
So, Sigal, thank you. Sigal, I must say it was very coincidental, or I should say divine providence, that you phoned us to comment and talk about love from a Jewish perspective. Tonight we celebrate, Sarla and I celebrate our 15th wedding anniversary.
Oh, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov.
Yes. Thank you. So love is obviously a very special subject in Judaism, and obviously well beyond. From a Jewish perspective, to summarize love is probably impossible in a short interview, but a few thoughts Sarla and I want to share about love is, and whatever we can cover today would be great. Maybe we can continue another time as well. But the first thing that comes to mind about love is that it's not an emotion we can really grasp in our mind. It's well beyond the capacity of the mind to make sense of. And by definition, an emotion is, you know, very much beyond what the mind can comprehend. But what is love? What is true love? And I think what you mentioned to me offline about the concept of first loving oneself, which Karine brought up, I think that's the premise of love. And if we look in the Torah, it says, V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. We should love our fellow as ourself. So, of course, the premise has to be that we love ourselves. If we do not love ourselves, how can we extend love to our fellow, to someone else?
Exactly.
So definitely the foundation of love begins with having a self-value, and beyond the self-value, really loving ourselves. But what is true love? It's a good question. And I think from a Jewish perspective, there's love between a father, a mother, a parent, and a child. There's love between siblings, although sometimes that's hard to find. There's love between husband and wife. And there could even be love between friends. And the question is, is love equal in every situation? Of course not. There are different types of love. There's so many different colors and flavors of love. To talk about love between husband and wife, Carla and I were kind of thinking about it just before we got the call from you. We're thinking love between husband and wife is quite unique because it's very different than any other developed love. From a Jewish perspective, husband and wife are already one prior to birth. They originate from the same exact unit soul. Before birth, Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, describes the division of that very soul into two entities, one becoming masculine, one feminine, and then enclosing itself in this world in a body. So ultimately, when a husband and wife reunite and find each other and fall in love, so to speak, as the cliche goes, really that love is the magnetization, it's the drawing back to their natural original state of oneness. And from a Jewish perspective, that is the emotion of true love, at least as it pertains to husband and wife.
So you're saying it's actually prior to birth, it's already been determined who you're going to be married with. Is that what you're saying?
I would say that even stronger than it will be determined who you're going to marry, it is your original other half.
Okay, so why would you say to someone that couldn't find any person on planet Earth and actually stay lonely? So there are many women who can't find a man and they can't get married. And there's a lot of people who actually start chapter two. So why would you tell them?
That's a very, very difficult question, because if everybody originates from a soul, a complete soul, and come into life, of course, we come in as a half. The man comes in as the masculine half, the woman as the feminine half. Of course, our lifelong quest is to reconnect with our other half. And the question, of course, is how? How does one know who the right person is? And in many cases, we continue, unfortunately, too many cases, people can
searching.
Be searching for love.
Yes.
And unfortunately, tragically, not find it. And I think it doesn't take away from the fact that they were born, and prior to birth, from a Jewish perspective, they were a spiritual being that was divided first. And ultimately, if they do not find love in this lifetime, which is a tragedy, from a Jewish perspective, there is reincarnation where that soul will come down a second time.
Mm. And what about chapter two? Who is the real soulmate? The first, the second?
It's an interesting question, and it's quite complicated. I'm not sure I got my head around it either. Maybe Starla has a thought about it.
Uh-huh. I don't know the answer, but maybe in continuation of what Mandy was saying about reincarnation, maybe there's something that soul, for some reason, that soul needed to connect to both of the men that the woman was married to.
Sorry, we didn't hear you well. Can you repeat it again?
Maybe, like Mandy was saying about reincarnation, maybe for some reason this woman, because of a previous soul, that a reincarnation, maybe she had to connect to both of these men that she was married to.
In other words, when the soul comes down in this world, it comes down with a checklist, things it has to do and accomplish. It's like a mission to do, you know, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, A, B, C.
Yes.
And one of the key things in this world is to reconnect with their soul. But along the way, prior or after, it may be the case that they will need to actually go and work with various bus stops along the way and pick up different sparks and elevate.
Yeah, it might be as well. Now, I'm going to ask you something a little bit tough. What if, I know the religious Jewish perspective, but what if a woman or a man find their other half with someone and you know, a soulmate with someone who is not Jewish? And can they say, well, it was all planned by God?
That's an excellent question, Sigal, and it's obviously a question which, according to the concept of each person having a soulmate prior to birth, meaning their other half, how does that square together? If they found love with somebody who isn't necessarily part of their original soul. And I would compare that question also to somebody who may have not found love the first time and then the second time has found love. You know, when it comes to the question of finding their other half, it is mazel. It is very much a thing that's beyond our control. It's part of a divine plan. And I would say that in many cases, we don't see the picture, the complete picture in advance. But in hindsight, we can often look back and make sense of it. In such a situation, it must be that God had some kind of plan. And whether it is the other half or whether it is in some way a repairing of the soul, whether it's the husband's repairing or the wife's repairing, we can't know for sure. But God certainly has a plan, because ultimately, in looking in hindsight in life, what happens, we must always understand, is part of God's bigger plan, even when human choice was at play.
So we can actually understand the divine plan. We can't actually know what the big plan is. We can try, we can aim, but we can't really fully understand that, I think. But
true.
Yeah. But you know, I'm quite often I really think about it. I'm not a religious person, but in Europe we have 70% divorce rate. In America, we have, I think, 62% from what I was checking. In Israel, 30% divorce rate. So, I mean, I will explain it by saying, well, what I think is that the image that the media portrayed in us is a false one. And people looking for love that is not real, love in movies, which is absolutely not real, and they asking us to be beautiful and pretty and attractive and amazing and do plastic surgeries and, you know, cover ourselves with so many and so much materialistic stuff. While in the traditional religious families, I don't know what is the divorce rate, but I do know that it's much, much lower than the secular one. So what are the principles that you do follow in your community in order to keep it right?
It's an excellent question. Silas, do you want to answer that?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is that love is not pleasure. Two different things. So if someone's seeking pleasure, they're seeking this and they're seeking that. Love is something that's an emotion and a feeling that is in everything you do. So it's in making supper. It's in cleaning the house. It's in taking care of the kids. It's in everything you do. You have this love, feeling of love, a feeling of a relationship. So if somebody's perspective and their mindset from the beginning is, we're in this relationship to have this family and have a Torah home, a Jewish home, and you have all this whole picture in mind, you're not looking for every pleasure, to look for every pleasure that comes your way. So it's a different, picture. It's not like, oh, this didn't work and that didn't work and we can go on to the next, you know, look for someone else. But it's a deeper, more fulfilling, more lasting emotion that goes into everything.
Essentially, it's this, and what Tyler is describing is, of course, the outlook and the foundation of the value system is aligned in the relationship prior to falling in love. And that's a foundational difference. People often in the world might be tempted to fall in love first by seeing each other for the first time, and then discover after they're deeply in this emotional relationship, very entrenched, they find out later that their value system may not be aligned, their outlook on life may not be aligned, and ultimately will have a serious distance between their feelings and the rest of their being. In, you know, the more traditional Jewish circles, what we try to do when it comes to marriage is we first focus very much on being aligned in terms of the value system, in terms of the outlook and direction in life. And once those foundations are in place, then we go to the next stage and see, is there love? Is there chemistry? Is there emotion as well? And once that's checked, then there's a foundation on which that love can continue to grow from day to day. And like Sarla said, the love is not just something that's designated to a certain time or place or situation of the day, but it actually transcends everything because of that strong foundation that is the foundation to that relationship. The love is not the foundation to the relationship, but something that comes and flows and grows once there is already a foundation of compatibility and alignment.
Absolutely. Actually, that seems to me the right order to go. And maybe this is, you know, the real secrets in all relationship. If you want to be insane, or, you know, you want to keep your family all together, maybe this is the way to go, because we see what happened in the world. And it's not easy. It's absolutely not easy to be a woman in this modern life. You have to cope with so many difficulties, with so many expectations. So maybe it is to the way to go, and to get to know the person first, and build up a relationship first, and then think, well, know what is going to happen next, and not really to confuse between passion and love, because they are not the same. And we tend to actually mix it and be confused. And it's happened to so many people. So,
yes. And part of it is...
Yeah. Just Mindy?
Part of it is, of course... Yeah, part of it, of course, is first the person themselves having a clear sense of direction, knowing what their life is all about. And, of course, people say, oh, how can I figure that out at 20 or 25? But from Judaism, that's easy. Because, and anyone who's religious will be able to relate to this, even if they're not Jewish, they'll know that so much of their values in life come from their religious books, from their religious texts, from their beliefs. So in Judaism, we don't have a million and one question marks about life and values, because virtually everything is already answered for us in our tradition. By studying our tradition and getting a good, you know, a good grasp of what our tradition for 3,500 years has taught us, pretty much gives us the answers that the greatest philosophers and scholars have been seeking over millennia. Once we have that perspective, and we obviously raise our children to have that, then at least there is a grounding that this person has. They have an aim in life. They have a direction. They have a clear picture and the answer to most very important questions about the meaning of life, perhaps not all. But then with that foundation, they go and meet someone else who similarly has that same background and grounding. It becomes so much easier. There's so much less variability and unknowns in that relationship, and then of course they can build on that, and the love will always come. It certainly does. Of course, you don't start with a skip and a leap of faith. There has to be love from day one before you know, even decide you're going to be engaged.
Yes.
But if there isn't that, you know, if there isn't the foundation that comes first, then falling in love can be, you know, not just a trap, it can be the opposite of a blessing, because if everything else does not align, it will be a very tormentous relationship.
Absolutely. So thank you, Rabbi Mindy and his wife, for their insight. And we can't forget, thank you, Nature B, for sponsoring us.
You can make the community connection anytime. On-demand community radio in your language. planetaudio.org.nz.